gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Masks Weekly Radio Show on Family Matters. Mask Mothers and Fathers Aligned Saving Kids, kids of all ages and all stages for all mental health struggles, including addiction. If you know someone that needs a referral for a therapist, still by Zoom even, or telephone, yes, you can have therapy on the phone. And insurance is accepted. So please give us a call. Maybe you need an inpatient or outpatient rehab. Call us 718-758-0400. Our parent support groups are available by Zoom. Sunday night, Dr. Shmuel Brachfeld. Monday night, Dr. Debbie Ackerman. Tuesday night, Dr. Trish Atia in person in Brooklyn. Wednesday night, Dr. Rabbi Ben-Zion Twersky. Please make somebody who is a Zoom meeting or a referral. Maybe you want to jot the number down for yourself, a loved one, a neighbor, or someone you usually sit next to and show. Our number, remember, all calls are confidential. 718-758-0400. Tonight, I'm really happy to have on with us someone that is always there for mask parents and works for the Klal. She's been on before. We love having her on. And that is Gelly Ossofsky, who's a registered play therapist and supervisor. She's an EMDR consultant, which she'll explain what that is. She's the founder of Playful Parenting Programs to support moms in building happy families. And Gelly has been in practice more than 20 years. I remember when I started Mask 25 years ago, she was one of the few first children therapists that I got to know through Nefesh International, which is almost 1,000 Jewish therapists around the world. That I am an executive board member, and there are therapists for every kind of therapy needed around the world. So anyone that wants a referral, please, again, call MASK 718-758-0400. You can have therapy from the comfort of your home. Nobody should suffer in silence. Pick up a phone, call. Let's get the help that maybe you or your loved one may need. So I'd like to welcome you on tonight again, Gelly. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for the introduction, Ruchama. And I am always happy to join you on your radio show to let everybody know what MASK is doing and that help is available. And I'm excited about tonight's topic because so important, and it's going to be, I always say my middle name is practical, but practical, that's what we're doing.
Right, and tonight's topic is doing the holidays with children, kids of all ages, and Gelly specializes in this topic in general. So I'm happy to have you on, Gelly, so we can give some tips to parents that are having their loved ones, their children home. It's so many days now that they'll be home, no school, no program, no schedule other than, you know, being home under mom's feet in the kitchen while she prepares or he prepares for the holiday. So let's talk about how to deal with the children being home for so long and out of schedule. Most important, out of schedule.
Yeah. So the thing I always tell mothers, fathers, is that you get to create the schedule. So while there's a year-long schedule, holiday schedules by definition mean a change. So the schedule has to become something that you make. It's when you get up in the, and maybe a looser schedule, right? You get up in the morning, you've got breakfast, then an hour later, the kids want snack, then they're nagging, you've got to redirect them, you've got to settle some fights, then you have the meal, the soda, and then the kids eat a little, then they wander off, then there's, maybe you're going to take a nap mid-afternoon, maybe you're going to go to the neighbor's house, maybe you're going to go to a grandparent or a relative, and then there's the bedtime, the evening meal, but the umbrella of the schedule is what you are going to create. When I talk to parents, I stress how important it is to know what type your children are. Can your children accommodate to a looser, just go with the flow? Or are they the type of child that needs breakfast at 8 a.m.? And if not, the whole day goes down. Do they need to be in bed at 6:45? Or could they tolerate waking up at 10 and going to sleep at midnight? But you can create a schedule which takes into account your children's personalities, their needs, your own personal needs. So you have the structure set up, which helps the day move with a flow, even if it's not the typical structure.
You know, you mentioned, Gelly, about having the set time meals and then they want snack. We know that kids are always ready to have snacks. They may not be ready to eat their meal, but they're always wanting another snack and another snack and another snack. So what do you tell parents about snacks?
That's a great question. I feel put on the spot, but I'll tackle this. I'll tell you why. Because the old school of thought is you've got to eat something healthy, and then you can have your snack, and then you can have your sweets. The new school of thought is expose your children to everything on the plate. Don't put sweets on a pedestal that children will crave. I'm somewhere in the middle, okay? I haven't switched over to the new school of thought. I really, really believe that children can know that they need to eat something healthy in the morning before they head to snacks and junk. So flexibility is key. What can be that healthy item? My grandkids were here, and, you know, I just noticed they wake up in the morning and they will happily accept a hard-boiled egg and grapes for breakfast. If they're not willing to have toast and avocado or oatmeal or something. So we need to be flexible because, like, the cabinet is right there and the next word is, can I have cheesecake from the fridge? Can I have a lollipop? Can I have Bamba? So as long as an egg was eaten or maybe even a string cheese or something that just coats the tummy with one healthy item is critical to starting the day and preventing meltdowns. So the children can know that snacks are going to their healthier versions of snacks. There are non-healthier versions. I think the most important key piece when it comes to snacks is what you don't want your kids to eat, it stays out the door. If you know your kids are doing do badly with MSG and with too much sugar, those things should be bought in small quantities. So in the entire bag of snacks, those are only four. So some snacks are okay. You know, you just, at a certain point, you just, if you can't fight them, join them. Nothing will happen if a child eats an extra pack of Bomba or potato sticks. Something will happen if they eat a ton of super snacks or fruit leathers instead of real food. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And then let's talk about the children that may have a very fussy palate. How do you balance what you're serving the family and what they may want or not want?
I think, children, it can drive you nuts. So the first thing you need to do is you need to say to yourself, I want to enjoy the holiday. I want peace in my home. I don't want constant tantrums. So if a child's going to eat a piece of challah and then they're going to wander off, make sure that they have that piece of challah and maybe there's a shmear or something that gives them a little extra calories, like a healthy version of avocado or, butter or something, because a child needs protein, carbs, and fat in their diet. It may not be what you want for the meal, but don't make a big deal out of it because you're going to go under. Some kids will only eat rice. Well, if your kid will only eat rice or plain chicken, make that in a separate pot, make enough for the holiday and warm it up. Don't make yourself crazy. You serve your family what you want and you have that extra piece of chicken for the child who can't handle anything extra or any spices in the food. And I always say, if your kid will only eat junk, because some picky eaters will eat any junk, they will not eat real food, get an energy bar that's coated in chocolate. I don't recommend that for every day, but I so believe in mom mental health as well and in building happy families. And if mom is busy tending to kid who's kicking on the floor, nobody's going to be happy. And that really takes away from the holiday spirit. Your kid only eats 3 or 4 foods. Serve them those foods. They're not going to learn anything new over the holiday if you make a stink about it.
I'm sure you're right. So let me ask you, have parents feel that by giving them a lot of snacks during off time, once they go back to school and back on schedule, they'll expect those amounts of snacks as well? So how do you switch channels?
Great question. I think parenting needs to be a benevolent dictatorship. The parents get to make the rules. So most kids understand that holidays are a time where we have more junk, we have more good things. You can, like my little grandkids, and I go back to them because I'm doing parenting the second time round as an active grandma. They understand that there are different rules on Shabbos. They do not eat cheesecake during the week. They eat cheesecake on Shabbos. So when you go back to school, a lot of snacks was holiday season, and now snacks go back to snack time and extras, extra goodies for the weekend, for Shabbos, for holidays. But it's okay. You are the boss. You are a kind boss as a mother and father. But you get to set the rules. The child may complain, they may argue, they may get in your face, but if you stay strong, it'll revert back to the typical schedule sooner than later.
Kelly, do you suggest that the children have a conversation with the parents together about the holiday schedule and how things will be working before the holiday?
I think that's a great idea. I wouldn't make it a 20-minute conversation, but a 2-minute conversation here and there as mommy is cooking and, bringing in the food from the unpacking the order about, wow, we have so much good stuff for the holiday. Wow, we're going to have a different schedule. We're going to be eating later at night. And if you're up, you know, if a kid is the type that takes a nap or stays up late, the meals will be a little later. So maybe mommy is going to give you some healthy food when we typically have supper, and then you'll have like an extra snack. So you can be, the kid can be prepared that mommy will offer both, and that there's always going to be a healthy version before the unhealthy. The kids can be prepared for any part of it. We go to sleep late, we're going to wake up a little later. Mommy will sleep a little later. Here's a, you know, here's some toys that you're going to play with in the morning when everybody is sleeping in late and you wake up early, right? Those conversations should be had throughout the getting ready for the holiday season as it weaves in to what we're doing.
So let's talk about dealing with the kids' boredom. Ma, I have nothing to do. I'm bored. I'm bored. That's what a lot of kids say when they can't have their iPhone, iPad, whatever technology. And yeah, even those that don't have technology. Comes the holiday, moms and dads are busy. They're going to shul. They're praying. They're cooking, they're home, they're visiting friends with older kids. Maybe there are no younger kids where they're at or the company. And they speak about, you know, Ma, I'm bored.
Yeah, so I've got a couple of tricks for that. I actually talk about that in my Playful Parenting program, that parents should always have a bag of tricks. You know, like the old Bernstein Bear babysitter story.
Yeah.
You know, you can go to the dollar store. You can pick up some cheap thingies that you can pull out of a hat, out of a bag, actually. Right. You can. I actually have old purses that I saved my old pocketbooks, and I took them out during Rosh Hashanah, and the kids played for an extra 2 hours without a word, loading toys into the purses and lugging them around. Who would have thunk? But it was something new. It was something different. You can sit down. You can play puzzles. You can do rhyming games. You can start dancing with your kids, singing contests. Mothers and fathers need to understand, even though we're so busy, our kids need us. So I like to say, you take 2 minutes, take 5 minutes when you're with your kids anyway, during all those transitional moments, and introduce the game, introduce the singing before, or whatever you're taking out before they start nagging. It works wonders. But once they nag, the answer is to try and stay calm and redirect. Redirecting will save your skin when it comes to the nagging.
Well, yeah, there are kids that are just, their nature is that way to nag.
Yeah.
And parents, you know, can get very frustrated when they're tired, you know, standing on their feet, going, you know, cooking so many meals, Erevyon, to all the kids home, and then you could have one nagging child.
Yeah. And I want to say, just get your kids to help you. We are the ones that feel burdened by everything we're doing because, you know, it's like we're doing. For the kids, this is very exciting. You know, a fancy napkin, different paper goods, putting the whatever on the table. A kid can be very excited. Young children, even 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds. I remember as a 10-year-old, my grandparents taught me how to make different kinds of napkins. That got me very busy for quite a while. So you have to think before you get into that space. You have to, like, just take some time. I know time is not easy and mental space is not easy now. But if you think about what your child needs, you may be able to preempt the nagging. You may be able to get some help, actually, and have a happier atmosphere.
My grandchildren always at the table and make pretty napkins. So yeah, there are a lot of meals out there. Let them learn now before the holidays, and then that could be an activity for them. Gelly, let's deal with the kids that fight. You know, with their siblings. They're young, they're fighting over a toy. They're, you know, you can have one child that doesn't want to share with guests coming. There is always going to be some fighting going on. Little kids and their toys.
Sure.
What do you say to the parents?
I think we have to just acknowledge that fighting is part of raising children. So to expect zero fighting is to set yourself up for tremendous disappointment and for complete and utter failure, because fighting will happen. As a parent, when fighting happens, the first thing I try to say is, I try to talk about sharing is caring. So when guests are going to come, we're going to have to share our toys. Well, I actually did this with my grandson. He said, I'm not sharing my pocketbook with my cousin when he comes. Grandma, you must have a third pocketbook. And I said, we're going to see if Grandma doesn't find a third pocketbook, we're going to share. No, I'm not sharing. Very normal for a three-year-old, right? When the guest arrived, he shared just fine. I didn't say no back to him. I didn't fight with him. He just emphatically stated he won't share. I softly stated that I really understood, but sharing is what we do when we have, you know, friends over, relatives over. In terms of siblings fighting, sometimes you just have to pick one kid up and go out and just distract them. Sometimes you have to say, look, we are not fighting now. If no one can play nicely, we're just going to take the toy and we're going to remove the toy. Usually kids want the toy and they'll stop fighting. The main thing is, mommy, if mommy loses it when the kids are fighting, the fighting will continue. If mommy is in control and hopefully has eaten, has slept the minimum amount necessary to function, then she can just stay there and stay calm. So you stay calm. There's always something to do. Worst case scenario, you lift the child or you say, come, let's do something else. Mommy wants to read you a book. I have another toy that I bought before the holiday. Maybe it's time to play with another toy. And by the way, my trick is in the dollar store to buy different animals, army figures. It's less than $5. And the kids make huge stories out of those huge quantities of people and animals. Keeps them
great busy. Idea. Yeah. Kelly, you know, you bring up self-care. It is so important that parents realize that self-care comes first. And it's before Yontif. We know that we want, you know, whether it's some people do paper goods, you need drinks, you need whatever it is, you know that you can get that before Erev Yontev. So the planning around your menu and planning about shopping, not having to do all those things Erev Yontev, is so important to take the stress off oneself. Just bringing in all the bags and unpacking, by then you're too tired to cook. So correct. Nobody should leave it for the last minute. You know you need the cleaners, the shoemaker, whatever it may be. Deal with it now. Don't wait till the last day to have an overflowing of errands and a list that you can't even tackle everything. So let's talk about the self-care, how important that is.
I think self-care for many moms is all about they're going to go out, we're going to get a manicure, pedicure, you're going to get a massage, you're going to have the kids, time off from the kids. And those are great to build in your regular daily system. You can take a walk, right, with your friends. So here, the holiday season requires us to think of self-care differently. What you said is critical. Planning ahead is very important. Some mothers, there's too much going on, whether it's their own personal mental health, whether it's sleeplessness, whether it's a new baby, whether it's a child who's struggling with mental health needs or autism or anything that's out of the norm. They just can't think ahead of time. Self-care for those moms will be to make simple meals and not to have all the dips and all the different things. At a certain point, nobody wants to eat too much anymore anyway. So you have to cut the corners so that you can survive. That's the basic. The second thing is, I always talk about my coffee in the morning. I have this salted caramel syrup, and I put in a quarter of the cap in my coffee, and that is my self-care. It's just, I happen to like salted caramel syrup. It's not a big deal. The bottle was $3.99, but it's that moment when I'm drinking the coffee, and I'm like, this is for me. If you go outside and you breathe in the fresh air for even 2 minutes, that is self-care. And I tell moms, you can always go to the bathroom, lock the door, and take your self-care there because no one's following you. You know?
Right.
You take snippets of time to take deep breaths and say, I'm me. Because during the holiday season, sometimes it feels like we lose our identity as humans. We're just machines that have to cook and clean and serve and take care of the kids and finally fumble into bed. So 2 minutes, 20 times a day, will add up to you feeling like a human being, and it'll help you get through the end tiff. And of course, if you can get out and do the bigger things, amazing.
I think it's also important that the couple makes time for each other. There's a lot of going to shul, going to visit friends, having meals. I think you need to plan with your spouse how things are going to work over the holiday season. Yeah.
Yes, you took the words out of my mind. I think that you may not be able to get a ton of time together with the reality of the holiday schedule, but after the meal, it's perfectly acceptable to say to your kids, Mommy and Tati, we're going to walk down the driveway, down the block. We'll be back in a few minutes if you have someone that can watch a little kid. Otherwise, put them in the carriage and take them with you. Even sitting outside and just talking to each other and going through what just went on, how was shul, how was synagogue, how was the meal, how were the guests, what you thought, what your spouse thought. It doesn't have to be much, but it should be at least once a day, hopefully twice a day, where you connect to your spouse. And taking a walk is what usually works for us and what I recommend. Because like you're outside anyway, typically during this time of the year. And it just feels like a nice flow.
Well, thank you so much, Gelly, for coming on tonight and always being there for the Mass families. And I want to wish you and all my listeners a very beautiful holiday. It should be a healthy and a happy new year for everyone. Chag Sameach. And always remember, hang in, hold on, and for now, continue to virtually hug tight. Please consider to go online to maskparents.org and donate so we can continue with these shows and all the mask programs. Tonight's show is in memory of Rivka Bas Yisrael. Thank you and have a good night.
The COVID-19 boosters are stronger now, so that you and your city can be too. Get boosted today so you can keep the people you love safe against the latest Omicron variants. Updated boosters are available to everyone ages 12 and older at least 2 months after their last vaccine shot. To learn more, visit nyc.gov/vaccinefinder or call 877-VAX4NYC.
What better way to start the new year than with the award-winning Shiloh Wines from Israel? Shiloh Wines, under legendary winemaker Amichai Lurie, continues to win medals, trophies, wine competitions, and the highest scores from wine critics and magazines, such as Wine Advocate, Wine Enthusiast, and year after year, The Wine Spectator. In fact, Decanter Magazine, for the first time ever on International Wine Day, chose an Israeli wine, Shiloh's Mosaic, as part of 20 wines from around the world that every wine lover must discover for excellence. So this Rosh Hashanah, when only the best will do, please put Shiloh's fine wines from Israel on your Yantiv table.